What a topsy-turvy time. Wait a minute. I don't even know what topsy-turvy means. Let me get Jay Randolph Jr., much better known as STL Golf Geek. Maybe he can shed some light on it. What is topsy-turvy?
It's kind of a turnaround, if you will, or a reverse or a fumble. I mean, it's a change in the way things are supposed to go, and that's what happened without question. It got topsy-turvy on Saturday afternoon when Mr. Rahm finished at the Memorial hosted by the great Jack W. Nicklaus.
Well, we're going to get into that. We're also, this week, we're going to take an in-depth look at the United States Open qualifying and maybe a quick glance at this week's Palmetto Championship at the Congaree. Jay, did you hear that constant white noise, that buzz at Memorial? I remember being there. I had somewhat of a rough night. I woke up in the morning, and I thought I was being invaded by aliens. I mean, it is absolutely crazy what happens there every 17 years.
It's crazier when you play golf at a place like that the first couple of times. You get used to it, but off the bat, it's weird. I remember I played in the Missouri Open as an amateur up in Columbia, Missouri, and they've got the same thing at the Country Club of Missouri, and it was crazy, but it wasn't as crazy as what happened with John Rahm.
Well, let's just briefly explain the cicadas. Apparently, they stay out of sight for 17 years. Then they come out to mate. Yeah, they come out. They make a lot of noise. They mate. They go back, and you don't hear from them for 17 years again. I guess they make pretty good neighbors.
They sure would. There's no doubt about it.
Now, if we can try and explain briefly, sparing some of John Rahm's feelings, the scenario, in case you have not seen it yet, he finishes the third round. He looks at the scoreboard. He's got a six-shot lead that's going to take him into the fourth and final round. He's greeted as he gets off the 18th green, Jay, by two PGA Tour officials, which I don't know how you feel on this, but I want your opinion. I didn't think it was proper to notify him that he's been disqualified due to COVID and do it on, when the cameras were rolling.
Absolutely. The whole thing with, they're also calling this a withdrawal, not a disqualification. The way in which John was notified, I thought was just a terrible snafu. I don't know whose decision it was. I know there's protocol that's how some of these things are done, but I can't imagine that's the protocol for informing a player of that type of a situation. I think that was a fumble. I think they made a mistake there, part of the topsy-turvy.
There we go. Getting back to that. Ultimately, kudos to John Rahm. He took it like the outstanding young man that I know him to be. Let's give a little listen on what Patrick Cantlay had to say regarding John Rahm.
I don't wish that kind of scenario on anybody. I would have much rather faced him down today and shot an extremely low round and beat him that way. But unfortunately, there's nothing I can do. I did everything I could with the cards I was dealt. And, I really did a good job of focusing today on the task at hand and staying present. And that's all you can do in this game.
Well, I think those are, words of somebody a lot more mature than in their early 20s. He was right. Cantlay, Jay, just played the hand that he was dealt.
Well, and Rahm's the one, in essence, that dealt it because he had not been vaccinated and the whole situation that occurred. And now it does appear will be okay to tee it up in the U.S. Open. At least we hope so. The 10 days would allow him to play in the United States Open. But, Bob, you're absolutely right. Cantlay, a guy who at times has put himself in position and not finished it off. And doing it against Morikawa after what Morikawa did the year before at the other tournament at Memorial to JT, I thought was fantastic stuff. I thought it was rising to the occasion for Cantlay in a big way. And he got it down, done down the stretch. I mean, that was really big for him. You wonder what momentum that will give him as we head toward the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. And again, one of those guys that's in a category of one of the best players that doesn't have a major yet.
You know, watching it, I got the feeling that it was somewhat of a heavyweight fight. Cantlay drops in a birdie. Morikawa comes back with another birdie. They traded blows all the way down to the last putt on the first playoff hole. And Cantlay said exactly what you said, Jay Randolph Jr., that he played the hand that was dealt to him after Rahm's WD.
I thought I did a good job of staying focused, and it really felt like a battle between Colin and I all day. And that's just kind of how it played out. I know Scotty made a few birdies early and he was up there, but with Colin right there in the same group, you know, it just felt like it was me and him trading blows all day. It felt really good. I stayed within myself and comfortable and confident and really did my best to stay present, and I think I did a good job.
Let's take a little closer look, Jay, at this 29-year-old Patrick Cantlay. That's his fourth win now in 111 starts. Man, that's some tall cotton.
Well, and he became the seventh player to win the Memorial more than once. And you know, no bogeys for either player on the back nine of the final round on that golf course was pretty strong. And as I said earlier, you know, we're seeing a couple other people rise to the occasion and get in that mix with Cantlay and Morikawa, who's 24, and Scheffler, who's just 24. Shoffley, JT, Hideki, Sam Burns, Rahm. Now, you know, a couple of them, obviously Jordan Spieth and Thomas, and now Hideki and Morikawa have majors. But the grouping of Cantlay and Shoffley and Rahm certainly are in that, and Scheffler, in that next category. Will they or when will they win a major?
And for people that may not remember, you know, Patrick Cantlay showed me everything there is, not only as a very proficient golfer, but a superhuman being. You remember, Jay, in 2016, Cantlay lost his best friend and caddy, a fellow by the name of Chris Roth that I knew well, a great young man, in a hit-and-run accident. Patrick Cantlay was right there with him when he passed, and to come back and get his career back on track. Jay, I know you have a lot of admiration for him.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it hit him really hard. And I think that, you know, when you're 25, 26 years old and you lose somebody that close, it maybe makes missing a putt sometimes puts it in a little perspective. So I think it was a huge maturity for him, and I think he's showing that maturity now. He's got a really good relationship with Nicklaus, so it's meaningful. You know, it's his second win there. You know, you got to think if he's playing as well as he is, he's got a shot at Torrey.
Yeah, absolutely. And the day after Memorial, a big day on the golf calendar.
Oh, it's a huge day. 9 qualifying sites across the country conducted by the United States Golf Association to qualify for that national open we were talking about at Torrey Pines. It's a pretty big names missed it. The top of the list is Ricky Fowler. He unfortunately missed out on a playoff by one shot. Would have gotten him in. It would have been a 6-for-4 playoff. Ricky missing the opportunity to play in the United States Open, as well as Brant Snedeker. Keegan Bradley, who it just shows you, Keegan Bradley has played fantastic golf this year, and he had to go to U.S. Open sectional qualifying. he doesn't make it. Neither does Adam Long. Bill Haas continues to try and, you know, you talk about a loss and that car accident that happened with Billy and the whole situation. The great story of Eric Compton. Unfortunately, he will not be at the U.S. Open. We've seen the 50 boys over 50 set try and do well, and we saw one at the last major. Mike Weir will not make it to the United States Open, nor will Maverick McNealy or Keith Mitchell, and that's why I think Keith Mitchell might have a big shot this week.
And all those guys, not that they want it, but they'll all have the week off during the U.S. Open. All right, in the grill room with Bob and Jay, next on the schedule, it's a new tournament that's just around for 1 year, filling the RBC Canadian Open spot on the schedule, and it's being called the Palmetto Championship at the Congaree in South Carolina. Familiar with the track, Jay?
I am. I wish it was at the Palmetto Club, which you and I and Janice got to play and love. Because of the name, the Palmetto Championship. Yeah, it's a good bet. You know, this is an interesting event. You've got some of the guys on an international crew like Fleetwood and Fitzpatrick and Hatton and Poulter who like to play the week before a major. Koepka, at least for now, is in the field. Dustin Johnson with the ties to the Lowcountry in South Carolina. Obviously, Kevin Kisner. Who plays out of the Palmetto Golf Club in Aiken, South Carolina. But I'll tell you what, you start going down the list, and it's a wonder you and I didn't get in this tournament. I mean, the O-man, Omar Uresti, who's a club pro now, was like second on the alternate list on Monday. And, it's as we've talked about, Bob, and I think people understand, and the players understand, I think certain tournaments have to understand, that scheduling can, in a sense, make or break you. But having said that, while it is a weak field, you got DJ and Koepka. That's two stalwarts. So hopefully it'll be good theater the week before the U.S. Open. And the other problem is you're flying from coast to coast. Now, that's not that big anymore for these guys. But, you know, do you want to play four rounds in South Carolina, get on a plane late Sunday night and fly to L.A.? I don't know. I mean, fly to San Diego.
Well, you got me nervous. I did see an invitation in my mailbox, and it kind of could have been. And I said, no, it's not an invite for you to play in South Carolina. No Phil Mickelson, who usually plays the week before a major. You make anything out of that, Jay?
No, I think that's, I think the fever since he's won the PGA, I'm sure a lot of commitments and different things and maybe some advertising stuff he's done and continuing to stay healthy. You know, I mean, this guy knows Torrey Pines as well as anybody. I mean, he grew up almost in his backyard. So, it was, I believe, the first tournament he ever played as an amateur. Hell, it might have been the Andy Williams Wicks Open that long ago. he's got a huge shot. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I don't read much into changing the routine because, again, Congaree is a venue that is not very similar to Torrey Pines. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And with those wise words, how about putting a wrap on this week's edition of In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay?